Progressive covers pets in our auto policy at no extra charge. Now, let's hear what your dog has to say.
As a dog, I think Progressive's auto pet policy is... Oh, what is that? That's just my tail. Weird. Anyway, Progressive protects... There it is again. See? This is why I need protection. I'm so distracted. Nope, that is still my tail.
Progressive Auto Insurance covers pets for up to $1,000 in a car accident at no extra charge. And we think your dog would say that's great, too. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage for cats and dogs included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 25th day of May, 2023. And tonight we have, well, he's our producer with style, that fella that's got all the hair. Boy, you got a lot of hair. Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
There you go. He's on the board. He's ready to roll. And tonight, somebody that doesn't have maybe so much hair, but he's here with us tonight, Randy Gay.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
All righty. There you go. And we let her out. She's allowed to sit right in here with us tonight. You heard the cackle. Okay. None other than Little Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. We're going to let Lisa talk some tonight, huh? She don't get to talk much on the radio, but boy, she talks during the day, don't she? I mean, she makes up for it, don't she? Okay. Alrighty, now, the title of the message was The Pulpit's Responsible for It. We're talking about what a sermon Charles Finney had written, and... In his sermon, it was called, If There Is a Decay of Conscience, the Pulpit is Responsible for It. And we covered that decay of conscience. We covered if the public lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. And we talked about that. And tonight we're going to pick it up where we're in number three. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. Now, a lie is a lie, even when it's called a narrative, right?
Amen.
Yes.
And
Amen.
We're going to listen a little later on in the program. The echo chamber goes on, and we're going to show you a whole list of people that were flat out lying and knowing it, and they knew they were lying. Every single one of them knew they were lying. And so a lie is a lie, even when it's called a narrative, even if you're talking about the Russia hoax, even if you're talking about the climate change hoax, even if you're talking about the critical race theory baloney, or if you're talking about this whole transgender hoax, and that's what it is, okay? And then, folks, when it comes to being a binary person, we've been looking for a binary, right? folks, there's a lot of delusion and illusion and confusion going on out there on the left. But anyhow, we're gonna start actually tonight in Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, Randy, when we talk about he that overcometh, he's simply meaning those that have been saved, born again. But God makes seven really great promises to those that overcome. And if you would read them, let's take a fast look at them. Revelation 2:7.
Okay. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm looking forward to that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Living forever would be a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
In paradise.
Yes. Without a food bill, too.
That's right.
No grocery bill.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Don't have to worry about them putting any of the mRNA in there, right? Okay.
Right.
That's right.
That food. What about verse 11?
Okay. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
That's even better yet, right? Okay, now what about verse 17?
Verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it.
That's absolutely right. And what about now verse 26?
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
Let's go to 3:5. There's another promise.
Sure. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Boy, you know what? My wife won't be having any more laundry days, will she? No more laundry days. What about 3:12?
Okay. And he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name.
Now listen, is there anybody, even the wealthiest people in this world today, is there any of them that lives in a place that even comes close to matching that?
No, nothing here matches perfection.
Absolutely.
It's perfection.
Right.
You see, because there's going to be some other things happening in that New Jerusalem. So even the wealthiest people here today who have their mansions, you know what? There's still some problems. They're still under the laws of gravity. We won't even be under the laws of gravity, okay?
That's right.
You understand? I mean, we can just get to where we want to go there, and we're going to have liberties far beyond anything you can imagine, okay? But not liberties that we would want to do anything vile or evil. We'll have nothing in our hearts but doing good, huh?
You know, I think about, like, what we always sing at the end of prayer, which we did this morning, where he says, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. There won't be any need to pray in heaven because it's...
You'll be there.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll be there. And
but you
perfections.
See,
every desire, every want, every need is met, so there's nothing to pray for.
And go to 21.
You want to go back to chapter 21?
No, 3:21.
Okay.
Revelation 3:21, where you were there.
3:21. Okay, will do. Okay. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne.
All right, now, when you talked about prayer, that's what we're going to do here because of the non-compromise content of this radio program. And I'm told all the time, why is it that you know, we're the only ones that they're always trying to take us down? Somebody's always trying to take us down And we're told by, of course, the engineers and that, well, it's because of the content of your program. Well, of course it's because of the content of the program. But because we don't back down, because of we tell it the way it is, we won't use their terminology. And because we're out to win, we're not going to compromise because we've never compromised. We need to have the folks out there with us because we have really angered the opposition. I mean, we've really angered them. They have not been able to get us off the air. We're still here after all this time, and they've tried time and time again. We're like a thorn in their side. And so we need, now there's power, much, much power in prayer. The folks out there, you know, God will hear their prayer. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So I'm asking them to join with us right now in that prayer because there are those out there that want us off the air in the worst way you can imagine, okay? And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we're gathered again here tonight, Lord, this radio program has got one purpose, and that is to glorify you, to honor you, to be in compliance and obedience with you. And Lord, so you've given us a voice here. You've put us here. So Lord, because of that, let this radio program do nothing but tell your truth, your whole truth, nothing but your truth, Lord. And Father God, Lord, you know who's out there listening. Lord, let the people out there continue. And Lord, so many letters we've gotten from those that have told us that they've been praying for us. And Lord, that's got to be why we're still here, because I know you're hearing those prayers. So with that, we would ask the folks to continue to pray to come against the dark forces that come against us. And as we continue to pray, the very same for you folks out there. And Lord, I'm asking you too, for everyone out there, all of these people, so many of them that have prayed for us, and those that have helped us financially, my prayer is that you would bless each and every one of them, Lord, in the very same way they've blessed us with their support. And Lord, my other prayer is that you would turn all of their desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, going back to Revelation here, he says, but the fearful and the unbelieving. You know, wherever you find the fearful, you'll find the unbelieving. Wherever you find the unbelieving, you'll find the fearful. And we see that, and unfortunately, you will find that unbelieving in pulpits today. It's a horrible thing, but there's so many pulpits, so many compromising out there. So very many hirelings instead of shepherds in the pulpits today. They're not totally biblically literate. They're not sold out to the cause of Christ. They say things like the Bible's got errors in it and all kinds of things that, you know, that only the original manuscripts are inerrant. That's not true. You see, God said that heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. And he made it very clear that his words, that he would preserve his words, and we would receive his words exactly without any error, okay? And these fellows, unfortunately, don't think God can do what he says he'll do, huh?
But you know what's interesting is that when you talk about the full armor of God, the one thing that's in there is the belt of truth, the girdle of truth. And the thing about truth is that truth is part of the armor, but it doesn't really protect you per se. It just unites you with God and gives you the courage to fight, because truth can be attacked. The sword of the spirit fights back. Praying kind of in its own way fights back. But what truth does is that it's essential to undergird everything else that goes on. If you don't have the truth, you're not rooted and grounded in anything.
And exposes lies.
That's exactly right.
Now, when he goes to here, he says, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable. Well, of course, we know what the abominable is. That's sodomy. Sodomites, LGBTQ, is called abominable out there today. Pedophiles, abominable. We were looking at these things. And whoremongers, you know, that word for whoremongers is interesting there because in the Greek, it's called pornos, where you get porn from, a pornography. And actually, it's a word for pimps. And any who practice or promote illicit sexual activity. And so, but it also is applied today to whores in three-piece suits, those out there that, that go whoring in business. In fact, actually, they're referred to more in the Bible than sexual whores.
Amen. Okay? That's right. Yes.
So here, and he goes to, and he says, sorcerers. Tell me about sorcerers today.
Sorcerers, but that's those are drug people. And, I mean, drugs are kind of everywhere. You know, if you think about it, for any problem, there's a drug.
Pharmakias. Pharmakias means what?
Yeah.
It means sorcerer, okay, or what else does it mean? Witch. It's witchcraft.
Okay, witchcraft. Sorcerer, okay, witchcraft. Yes.
And do we have, boy, today, I mean, Pfizer, Moderna, I mean, just unbelievable the amount of, yet the vast majority of people out there, they just, it's not, it doesn't really register with them what this is. We've been talking about this for years and years.
But isn't it interesting that as they're being exposed, they're all turning around like they were on our side all the time?
All of a sudden, more and more of that is happening. In fact,
yeah,
I'm going to play a clip in the second hour with all of these people, and now some of them have backed away. We're talking about it, that it, unless you got the vax, you were un-American, and you should go to prison if you didn't get the vax.
Or you lost your job.
Or you shouldn't even live.
You lost your job.
You shouldn't be allowed to live or buy.
Right.
Or, in fact, there were many of them that were promoting, and I'll read the names of these people because we have them. In fact, they'll know it by hearing them. But said that anyone who refuses the vax should not be able to get any kind of medical treatment at all, okay?
But think about what happened to Cleveland Clinic with the Amish, where their death rate, they were virtually an unvaxxed sect of people, and where their death rate did not change at all. They all got COVID pretty much, and their death rate was not affected at all by the whole anti-vax thing. And now Cleveland Clinic's admitting that the Amish people are four times less likely to even get it now. I mean, it's amazing how, and they've taken all that back. You don't have to wear a mask anymore and all of this stuff, and they're rolling it back like they were always of that opinion.
Well, they made a statement to you, four times more likely to get COVID if you've had the vax.
If you had the vax, that's correct.
Yep. Now, if you're four times more likely to get it, how many times more likely are you to spread it? That's right.
Yeah.
Now, and if that's the case, how many more times are you more likely to die of it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But then they say about eight times as many people actually died from the vax as died from COVID.
From COVID. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the cure is worse than the disease, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes.
And that's not much of a cure. So here, he goes on to say, and idolaters, all idolaters. Well, what's an idolater?
Well, that anybody who puts something before God in their esteem, value, whatever it is. I mean, you can be an idolater about your family. You can be an idolater about your job or whatever.
Or anyone that you place before the Lord.
Before the Lord.
What did Jesus say? That he must be first, right?
That's right.
Okay, and so now here you go. All right. You hear this media. All liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you turn on that. If you just sat there and turn on NBC, ABC, CBS, you can sit there and all day long just list lies going on. Or all you have to do is sit in to Congress and listen to some of what takes place in the congressional hearings there. All day long, just lies. And the Bible says, do you think God means what he says here, where he says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire?
I think he does.
Yes.
What part of that don't you understand?
Right.
We're going to take a good look at that one in the second hour. Now, if the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. Let me ask you today, if we take a look at the church, what is referred to as the church? But, of course, the Lord Jesus made it pretty clear that only a very small percentage of only a few out there that have a profession of faith, actually have a possession of salvation, right? But today we look at preachers like Rick Warren, Al Sharpton. Now, what is Al Sharpton? Do you think Al Sharpton is by any means saved?
No.
Hey, next joke. Next.
Uh-huh. Okay, would you, here, I know I've said this many times before, but some years ago I was driving down Route 20 and out there in Mentor. And I got a call from somebody, and they told me, turn on 1330 right now. And I said, why? And they said, Al Sharpton's on there. And I said, why in the world would I want to listen to Al Sharpton? And they said, he's talking about you. Well, I got it on just to hear him say, don't listen to that Pastor Santa. He's a racist, okay? And that was the end of the conversation. But I think he was lying. What do you think?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. And so Al Sharpton is always, he's a race baiter. I mean, he has the people. He can really fleece the flock out there, can he?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. But you were talking about pastors. Come on. The fish rots from the head down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
what about Jesse Jackson? What was Jesse Jackson known for? Well, one thing, he was Bill Clinton's spiritual advisor.
Yeah, that's what you always going to say. He was Clinton's spiritual advisor, and they both had the same issue at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Clinton had his problems with Monica. Jesse Jackson had gotten a woman pregnant, okay,
yeah.
and was taking her to kill the baby after. We still have him on a tape of years and years ago when he said abortion was black genocide. Had not been for his aunt, he would have been aborted, okay? What about Rick Warren?
Charlatan.
Okay.
He's a total charlatan.
What about Kenneth Copeland? Kenneth Copeland says you can take the Bible right here and you can make God produce. In other words, you can shake God down by holding him to his word, right?
My favorite one is Jesse Duplantis.
Now that's different because
what a piece of
Jesse
work.
Duplantis, he says God calls and asks him for advice.
That's right. That's right.
And I couldn't believe I heard him say it. I mean, it's amazing. And then this woman says, "Well, what does he need advice on?" And Duplantis, I can't discuss that, right? Yeah. I have a hard time believing Jesse Duplantis. Okay. And so Paula White is another one.
Okay. That's right.
Yes.
Remember Paula White, she was prancing across the stage in her mini, mini skirt, saying, I've got hips and I've got lips and I can work these hips and I can work these lips. But then she said, the Apostle Paul wasn't much of a preacher at all because he was preaching all day long. And she said, if you can't get it done in 45 minutes, you ain't much of a preacher, okay? Do you think maybe she's missing a point?
Yeah.
I think so. And then, of course, you have the Pope out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope, what did the Pope say? Humanly speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ failed at Calvary. Well, if Christ failed at Calvary, what kind of a future do we have? We don't have much of a future if Christ fails.
We don't. That's correct.
No, we don't.
Okay, but you know what? I don't believe the Pope. I think Christ finished the job. You know.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. What about another Jesus? You know, they talk about it, another Jesus out there. Maybe we'll pick this up here because. You see, that there seems to be out there within the World and National Council of Churches a Jesus who, as it says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a Jesus that's non-judgmental. He's non-judgmental, and he's, where it comes to sin, he's very, very tolerant of sin.
Hmm.
You know, that's the Jesus that
But if you listen, there, you can find a Jesus in some belief that goes for whatever they believe. So yeah. it doesn't matter. There's a Jesus that's for the LGBTQ. There's a Jesus that's not for the LGBTQ.
And
it's whatever you want. There's a Jesus that says you'll never be sick.
But I think
other Jesuses. And there's another Jesus that if you just look for the one you want, and he's around somewhere to be found. And that's terrible.
You know what I think? I think those folks are in for an extremely rude awakening. Yes. We'll be back after this.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You'd better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song, but on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. Say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you. Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song.
Boy, I'd rather be right than wrong. And that was it. That was Julie Daynor and the very, very talented Danny Ray. And yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. And we all would rather be right than wrong.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, now, I got good news and bad news. First, the bad news. Bad news was Salem, he gave given us to June 1st to raise an extra $100,000. And if we could have done that, they would have knocked another $50,000 off our bill. We didn't come close to it, okay? The good news was at least we raised up about $90,000. And here, now when I'm talking about $100,000, that's an additional $100,000, okay? But we did raise about $90,000. And we were able to, and here's the good news, is that here in Denver, WKRKS AM 990 in Denver, we only need 15,000. Now, folks, for you folks out in Denver, if you with 15,000, we can get back on the air. We can get back on the air in Denver. Now, but here's the thing: it's got to be marked. If you send in your check, you've got to mark it, or if you put it PayPal or someplace, you got to let us know, okay, because we got to show that. This is from the Denver station. 15,000. All it takes is three people out there for 5,000, and we've had people in Denver send that, give us that much, and we'll be back out in Denver. And we have all kinds of letters, and we have some really good people out there in Denver. That would be great. Now, here's even better for Portland, Oregon, KPDQ. All we need is 10,000. Two people at 5,000 or five people at 2,000 will put us back on that station. In fact, we just had one check from a fellow gave me for half that amount, okay, from the Portland area. And then we had also in Little Rock, all we need is 10,000 for Little Rock, and we can be back up on that station, okay? But it's like I said, it would have to be KDIS FM 95 or 99.5 in Little Rock. You'd have to have that on that check so we can show up that it's coming from Little Rock, okay?
Amen. Amen. Oh, and you don't have to live in Little Rock to send that check. Just mark it for Little Rock.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and let's make that clear. Because I think that did happen in Portland. Somebody gave some money that didn't live there, but they gave it on behalf of them.
Yes.
Yeah, and so they may have family there.
Yeah.
All righty. So anyhow, folks, we got a good opportunity to go back on. You know, we've been fighting like the Dickens. I actually didn't think we were going to have a good month last month. We didn't start out right. Every day we were below our goal, but right at the end, I don't even know if you folks know it, but after we had left here on that Friday, an additional 1,500 came in.
Yeah, okay.
And put us over, way over our goal. So we praise the good Lord for that. Anyhow, that's what's going on out there. Wanted to just mention to the folks that as we have our Newberry Memorial Day this coming Monday, I will be speaking at the Veterans Park right at the corner of 87 and Auburn Road at 12 noon. And so you folks are invited to come out and say hi to me. They've asked me to open up a session in prayer, and I'm looking forward to doing that now. Newberry's a little burg. I mean, we're a little country community out there, and it's really nice because everybody knows everybody, and it's good country people. The volunteer fire department's out there, and all of the people are coming together, and as we do that, it's a great time. And then right across the street from there, they're going to have a picnic afterwards. So anyhow, that's what's going on there. We want to invite you folks out. And we have some lightning rounds coming up. One, I wanted to start off with this here tonight. America's first legal uncovers vast censorship network funded by our State Department, you see. Boy, we can, by our own State Department, along with Bill Gates, George Soros, and others, that targeted and censored and discredited independent media outlets like who? Like us. At least they tried, right? Okay.
Oh, they wouldn't do that.
Who were challenging the official narrative, if you will. The official narrative, huh?
Yeah.
American First Legal posted a lengthy Twitter thread Wednesday exposing the State Department's Global Engagement Center. The Global Engagement Center was carrying out U.S. government propaganda through private media organizations. The Global Engagement Center defines its mission as to direct, lead, synchronize, integrate, and coordinate U.S. federal government efforts to recognize, understand, expose the counter foreign state and non-state propaganda and disinformation efforts aimed at undermining or influencing the policy, security, or stability of the United States, allies, imparted. So their goal is what they, everything they just said is what they're doing. They're the ones, okay? And everything they accuse us of doing, remember what Stalin said, always accuse the opposition of doing what you're doing. But where'd he get that? He got that from none other than Karl Marx himself. So what do you have there, Randy?
Sure. Well, I'm sure everybody is kind of wondering what happened to him anyway, but I thought this one was an interesting one. Shady Black Lives Matter organization headed to total bankruptcy. Still giving seven-figure salaries to board members and to the co-founder's family. A world-famous comedian, David Chappelle, once said, "You hate to see it, but more than that, you love to see it." The Washington Free Beacon obtained tax documents Tuesday showing the Marxist Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation plunged millions of dollars into the red. At the same time, BLM's GNF is still doling out millions of dollars to relatives of its co-founder, Patrice Cullors, and several board members, as the Daily Mail notes, Cullors resigned in May 2021. Cullors once claimed that the financial disclosure would be, quote, triggering and also, quote, unsafe. Now we know what she wanted to cover up. Black Lives Matter's Global Network Foundation ran an $8.5 million deficit and saw the value of its investments accounts plummet by nearly $10 million in the most recent tax year. Financial disclosures show the group logged a $961,000 loss, and I'm saying this right, a $961,000 loss on a sale of $172 million, suggesting that the charity weathered a staggering 85% loss on this transaction. These troubles can't stop BLM from doling out seven-figure contracts, though, to friends and families of its former executives. Director Patrice Cullors, who once said charity disclosures were triggering and deeply unsafe. The group has blown through two-thirds of its $90 million that it raised in wake of George Floyd's death in the summer of 2020. BLM also spent about $12 million of this on luxury homes in Los Angeles and in Toronto. The rise of BLM has led to massive crime spikes in America's major cities thanks to weakened politicians. The demise of BLM movement cannot come soon enough. Complete bankruptcy for their national organization would be a good start.
Well, Randy, you know, remember that corporation called Walmart? They ended up giving quite a bit of money to burn, loot, and murder.
It's a lot of them. It's more than Walmart. And I know it said $12 million on those two homes. They actually bought five, and it was $30 million. And
right.
the one has a helicopter report for them to land in. And isn't that interesting that, like, 3 years ago you have $90 million, and now you're down to under 10?
And not only that, but, you know, all of these woke corporations, like, and Walmart's one of them, they're closing stores all over the place, Walmart. Because, well, some of that burn, loot, and murder took some of that money they had, and they went and they trashed some of your Walmart stores. So in some of those liberal cities, Walmart had to close their stores because burn, loot, and murder people were coming in there and stealing.
Okay? Well, look at the Bud Light controversy. And I like the slogan, go woke, go broke.
I think they're up to, what is it, up to something like 17
billion dollars, and it's not just them. Target lost $7 billion in a week about the kiddie stuff. They have some kind of kiddie whatever, but in a week, I mean, they dropped from like $73.5 billion value down to 65. Their stock was at 161. It's in the 140s now. So, you know, people are pushing back, and I'm glad to see the resistance growing. I really, really am to this whole thing. I think that people are tired of the LGBTQ stuff. They're tired of the child mutilation. And what's happening is that you've got a few people saber-rattling and making noise when the majority truly is silent this time. And now people are starting to step up and get the courage to say, you're not going to make me participate in this.
And well, both Burger King and McDonald's both had their pro-LGBT, which is lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, okay? Mm-hmm. Or, as one pastor says, let God burn them quickly, okay?
Yes.
Yes. Because, but again, we don't hate Sodomites. We pray that they'll repent.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
They hate us. They hate us. But, you know, God's word in the Bible doesn't stutter. Repent or perish. Repent or perish. And what they're trying to do is force their filth. I mean, this sleazy, sleazy filth on children. And it's a horrible thing. And so both McDonald's and Burger King just had to close 400 stores down.
Well, there are none in Detroit. All 26 of them in Detroit are gone. There are none in Detroit right now.
Well, there's some around here they closed down, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, and you know, it was bad in the sense that they took a national stand, but some of the independent people that owned the franchises said, we totally disagree with them. And that's the same thing with McDonald's. You had to cost them. They're gone, okay? And so, and then don't forget, have you noticed that Coke is no longer telling white people we have to be less white now?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I've seen. So I quit drinking Coke, and I got whiter and whiter looking. Look at me, yeah. So, already, yeah. So there you go. What they call the woke-a-dope stuff.
That's right. Woke-a-dope. That's right. That's right.
All right. Breaking. Texas passes bill to become the 9th state to leave ERIC. Okay. Texas House votes out to pull out of the controversial voter roll scheme. Only 23 states remain now. Here, you know what happened to Dominion. Dominion says now, Dominion, they're going broke. They're shutting down. Even though they just got that huge settlement from Fox News.
But yeah, what wasn't that? That was a few hundred million bucks.
$700 million.
$700 million, yeah. Uh-oh.
Okay, but Dominion says nobody wants their machines. None of the states wants their machines anymore. And they say, listen to this, Randy. It was programs like this one here that ruined their reputation. Do you think maybe Dominion had a part in ruining their reputation? Do you think maybe election fraud is not good for your reputation? Okay.
Yes.
You know what's amazing to me is the ownership of that company is directly tied to some family members of some highfalutin people in Congress, mm-hmm. and there's something not right about that.
Yeah, a whole lot not right.
Yeah.
Anyhow, on Tuesday, the Texas legislator voted to pass House Bill 1070 and withdraw from the Electronic Registration Information Center called ERIC. The controversial voter roll maintenance system. Yeah. Okay. Texas will be the 9th state in the past year to leave ERIC. Now, this is good because now there's only 23 states that remain, okay? And they're pulling out one by one. And guess what? Ohio is one of the ones that pulled out.
Oh, good. Well, good. Yeah. That's a good, yes. Finally something good.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Representative Judy Busey, D. Austin, proposed changes to the bill which would have to be approved by the Senate before the bill goes to Governor Abbott's desk. I think Governor Abbott's going to sign it and get rid of ERIC, okay, altogether. Hopefully. You know, we got to get back to just plain old paper ballots.
Yes.
I agree. And hand count.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and hand count. I mean, that's just the way that should be. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you something else. They need to quit having voting season. They need to have it where you vote. Like the only
one
people
day,
that you know, the military can be absentee ballot, but everybody else, if you can't make it, then you can't vote. And
right.
That's just the way it should be.
Right. Have it on election day.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think, like this next election, the Republicans are going to vote on that Tuesday election, and Democrats will vote the following Wednesday.
Right? Yeah. Oh, so but that's true. It's sad.
So now true. You remember that if you're a Democrat, the Republicans vote on election Tuesday, right?
Okay. That's right.
So, yeah. Okay. Now, what do you have, little Lisa?
Okay. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene told Steve Bannon that the Treasury is hiding human sex trafficking documents on Hunter Biden with names and addresses, phone numbers of people involved in prostitution rings, including Russians.
Well, we knew that, didn't we?
Yes.
Now, Christopher Wray. We'll get to him in a minute, but old Christopher Ray's going to be on the hot seat, isn't he?
Yes.
He's got till Tuesday. Well, we'll talk about that, but what do you have over there?
Oh, sure. Well, the other thing I have kind of in regards to this is that this is from January 6th stuff. It says the same D.C. cop who beat innocent Trump supporter Victoria White nearly to death on January 6th was driving around with the D.C. Antifa leader during the June 20th, 2020 writings. We have the honor and pleasure to speak with and interview Victoria White in October 2022. Victoria is a wonderful American, a committed mother, a victim of unbelievable police violence, and a beautiful person. Victoria was beaten over 40 times with fists and sticks on January 6th. Victoria White from Rochester, Minnesota, attended the Stop the Steal rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And like many Americans that day, it was her first time she had ever visited Washington, D.C. And she was excited to be there. And what started out as a wonderful trip with family and friends turned into a bloody nightmare. The police officers, led by Officer Jason Bagshaw, which should actually sound familiar to the rest of us, beat her in the face and shoulders 40 times with sticks and with their fists when they dragged her through the U.S. Capitol shoeless, forced her to wait outside without a phone, a coat, and a ride after they released her hours later. This was after Victoria broke up Antifa activists from breaking windows in the U.S. Capitol. To add insult to injury, the FBI later raided her home in Rochester and arrested her in Minnesota. Not once did the Department of Justice report what they described as a brutal pummeling she received in the hands of the Capitol Police officers. The fact that they ignored the police brutality in their report is absolutely frightening. It should be clear to any conservative in America today that you cannot trust the Department of Justice. After the police officers beat Victoria with batons for several minutes, smashed her in the face with their fists, they put her in zip-tie handcuffs, paraded her through the U.S. Capitol and into a police vehicle. And now there's a new twist to this story. Violent Antifa leader Jason Charter, who's the head of Antifa, is friends with this Jason Bagshaw, who was the officer who did all this. Now we've learned that Jason Bagshaw is close to Jason Charter, who is the leader of the violent leader of Antifa in D.C. They're close enough that Charter called Bagshaw. Fox News reported that the two are so close that Bagshaw took Jason Charter for a ride to a convenience store after one of the Antifa rallies. Now, that's interesting. So that the same cop that nearly killed an innocent female.
Dirty cop. A cowardly cop.
Absolutely. Yes.
See, that's a cowardly cop. That's the kind of cop there that would never do that, would stand up face to face with a man. No, that cowardly cop is the one that would sneak up behind you or beat out, have no problem beating up on a woman. Just like the one that shot Mrs. Babbitt, that cowardly bird who.
That killed her. Yep.
That murdered her.
No, murdered her. Yes.
Now, there will be no justice until every one of those dirty cops in that so-called panel that they had, that committee, that every one of them belong in that dirty, dirty, filthy D.C. jail where the patriots, where the Christians are. There'll be no justice until they all find their place in that jail cell.
Yeah, the article ends with saying Officer Bagshaw has some explaining to do and to please pray for Victoria White. And I think that that's very, very true, that there are a lot of dirty cops. The whole Metropolitan Police Department there in D.C. needs to be shut down and probably restructured. I mean, you can't not have police, but at the same time, you can't have the ones you got either.
Right.
We're going to let little Lisa go for another one.
Okay, well, Rasmussen Report's survey, majority of Americans agree media favors Democrats and is truly the enemy of the people. Survey questions included, do you trust the political news you are getting? Does news media coverage of politics generally tend to favor Democrats or Republicans? Or is political coverage in the news media mostly neutral and balanced? Do you agree or disagree with this statement? The media are truly the enemy of the people. Well, the survey reveals that 30% of likely voters say they trust the political news they are getting, while 52% say they do not trust the political news. Voters also say that the news favors Democrats over Republicans by a 32%
margin. No.
Yeah. An enemy of the people. Today, we reported a new record high. 59% of American voters who view the media as enemies.
All right, here's one. Now, listen to this, because we may have to go on the other side and talk about this, too. The eight-year alliance, over 100 ex-Trump officials to endorse potential rival for 2024 run. In other words, they're a group of former officials who served in the Trump administration are planning to support Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in his campaign for the Republican presidential nominee in 2024. The group of at least 100 people calls itself the Eight-Year Alliance, according to Fox News, saying they want a candidate who can serve the 8 years, which would be two terms in office. The group wants to avoid President Donald Trump's immediately becoming a lame duck president. Let me just tell you what this is. This group, these are rhinos. And let me tell you, too, if we allow the Communist Party to get away with the way they treated Trump, if you know, I want nothing to do with this alliance. You know, from they've just made an enemy out of me, okay? They made an enemy out of me, okay? But if we allow them to get away with what they did to Trump, and look what they've done to others, it's going to continue. You know, Trump's not perfect by any means. I mean, he definitely has a way with words, okay? But what they did to him was wrong. When they rigged that election, when they stole his election, they stole our votes.
They sure did. And I mean, to me, that's the whole point. Is that, and I agree with you, that Trump is far from perfect, but the other thing to remember is that you only get two choices.
Right.
I don't care what anybody says, you only get two choices,
right.
And you have to make a choice, mm-hmm. And Trump was far and away the better choice. He was the better choice.
Yes.
Let me just say something about this, too. A lot of what you say, I mean, you know, we're grown-ups here, so we can see things a little different than especially all of the theater that takes place out there. These politicians, just like the last time, when they're running, they communicate with each other. All that you see is not—it's not exactly the way it is. Now, and if you remember when DeSantis was way behind, he was way behind, till Trump showed up. Trump came in, Trump got him elected. Okay, now I believe DeSantis is a decent fellow, okay, and I would have no problem voting for him myself at all, okay? I think he's a good candidate, but you know they're communicating, and you know that they're saying, okay, listen, let's put up this fight, okay? And what happens, a couple things happen that when Trump's enemies are out there, the deep state, many of them will slime up to DeSantis and say, look, we want to help you with Trump, right? DeSantis, therefore, will know who those people are. And he can tell Trump. And that works in reverse, too.
It's scripted.
Right, it's scripted. And so if you'll notice like this, this commercial that Trump's been very gentle compared to what he did before with Bush and that. Ron DeSantis had a farm. He's running. These are actually funny kind of commercials. Okay, DeSantis, basically, he wants to come across as the guy that wants to keep his hand clean. He wants to run for the office, not against somebody. So, and he doesn't want to pick on old Grandpa Donald Trump, right? So, but a lot of this, like you say. People better figure out. I would be very surprised if Trump didn't pick DeSantis as his VP. Okay.
Yeah.
I know Carrie Lake's been said that she's up there as far as one of the top choices, but she's a lot prettier than DeSantis. But DeSantis, I think, could carry it. Okay. Him and Trump would be hard to beat.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian Resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's see, you've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschutz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.